Assalamu alaikum and welcome to a special episode of Anan Podcast, shot here live at MGF Al-Bujairi. My name is Yasmin Ward and I'm very excited to introduce my guest today, Gibson Kawago, UN SDG leader and CTO and founder of WAGA. Welcome, Gibson.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you here.
I'm also pleasured. I'm happy.
So, Gibson, you and I were talking a little bit before this, and I think I really would like to know how you went from a very technical background. I was looking at your profile. I think it's 15 different kinds of experiences in technology.
Yes.
And then you made the shift into sustainability. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
You see, what we do everything, what we do every day and our experiences really shapes us. And always they create opportunities that when doors are opened, we crack them down and get in. Personally, I was born in a village. When I was young, we had no electricity. Wow. My brother could do homeworks using kerosene lamp, and we were cooking using firewood, and the walls were becoming black, and we were living in a smoky room, and that environment, for me, I was not comfortable. Mm. So with time, I started going to scrap places to pick some old batteries from radios, crush them down, and try to create a lighting solution for my people.
Wow.
I could take the old batteries, put them in series, wrap them around, and I put one wire at the end, one wire at the end, and put a bulb. Then I could light up my room. Then we could take off the kerosene lamps and light up using that solution.
And how did you know how to do that?
I think it was intuition, and it was from experience, because we're using the batteries in the radios.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking at, why can't we use the same batteries for lighting?
Right.
Then I was trying out and things were working out. And as time went, I found out that it is very important to study and strategize and put
yes.
together a concrete knowledge to do that in large scale. So when I went to school, you know, I had never owned a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And my father could not buy a computer or a laptop. So when we go to the to school, I was assigned to be a lab manager for the computer lab.
Okay.
Because they knew I could not play games. People knew to play video games. So they gave me that responsibility, because when it could
reach... You're restricted anyways.
Yes. So with that, instead of playing games, I started learning from the internet on how I can make the battery packs. As time went, I started practicing looking at how to design circuits online
mm-hmm.
and how to manufacture my own products. Then I became now the founder of WAGA, where now we have women and youths who go around, collect trashed laptop batteries. When your battery from your laptop is dead, you replace with a new one. What happens to the old one?
Right.
So they get trashed to different dump places in our place. And in those places, our fathers and mothers take manure and go to plant some vegetables from the manure from that environment where they are.
So it's those batteries going into that same environment where you're planting the crops and eating the food from, ultimately.
Yes.
So it's full cycle of, oh, wow.
Yeah, so I started picking those batteries. Then now, well, we have women and youth who collect. They get decent jobs. They get paid for that.
Right.
Then we process them to create power packs. These power packs are battery solutions
mm-hmm.
which help people in rural places light up their homes, charge mobile phones, watch televisions,
incredible.
And recharge with solar panels. So they go totally off-grid from waste to clean energy. Then from that point, I realized that we need to live a sustainable life
mm.
and look at problems in our societies and solve them locally, and they can turn into businesses.
I think that's incredible how it came. So it was purely driven from a place of self-fulfillment and self-curiosity and need, rather than, you know, someone telling you about it, right?
Yes.
That's absolutely brilliant. And how would you say your surroundings, how open were they to these concepts that you were bringing? If what you're describing is, you know, kerosene lit homework
lamps.
Nights, right?
Yes.
How did the environment take to those changes?
The most of the times it all starts from the parents.
Right.
They are the ones who bring us to live here on earth. Mm-hmm. They are the ones who most of the times define on who we can become for our future. They are the ones who design who we really are. So even when you look at me, I'm almost 90% what my parents designed, and I'm 10% self-made. So the parents gave me an environment to be explorative, to explore around, mm-hmm. come up with ideas, look at what I can do, and they provided me with the possible support. At that point, they could not support me with money, but they supported me with knowledge. They supported me with permission to go around and do what I wanted to do. They supported me by sending me to a school where I got all that knowledge. They
That's
supported
incredible.
Me with blessings.
That's
then
incredible.
My son, go and do what you want to do. And they are my first users for my power packs.
Oh, wow.
So all those blessings opened up these doors. So the environments created from my background, from the society, people really received me like, this is our boy. Though my products were not as good standard as which were made in different
yes.
industries,
but
most people supported me like, no, I need to use Wagga products. So
right.
that really created a sense of belonging and made me believe that one day I can become that big brand that people are now looking at.
I love that. That's incredible. And I think it's super powerful. Looking at yourself and realizing it's not all you, and it, you know, literally takes a village, and it takes your parents, you know, support, unconditional support and encouragement. How do your parents feel about you being a UN SDG leader?
It's something unexplainable. From my background, I can say from my family, I'm the first to travel abroad.
Wow.
So I'm not looking at it as traveling, but I'm the first to reach international levels. Mm-hmm. Like my father, my mother, they did not succeed to study until university.
Right.
So even the opportunities opened at their time, they were not opened to an international level.
Mm-hmm.
But me being selected as one among the young leaders for sustainable development goals by the United Nations surprised them and made them proud. And I can tell you right now, if we know it may happen, if my father or my mother dies today,
they are
very, very proud of what I am doing. And I can tell you, my father even told me, I've added to him almost 100 days to live compared to the...
Oh, that's so sweet.
He's always very proud of me. Even he calls me like, you know, my father is just a driver. All these years I've done, all these years paid for our school fees. He's just a driver, driving people to their workplaces, taking them back, moving them from one place to another. Something which right now he told me that I have made him proud in a way, even when he's driving, he's very happy compared to the way he was before. He now feels like that is my son.
Mm.
And that is something that I'm proud of. And that is something I would love to tell all other young people everywhere. You are not too small to make a change.
Mm.
Work hard, grab those opportunities, and make your parents proud. And I'm proud of that.
That's incredible. That's incredible. It must fill you with such a sense of joy and pride to be able to give that to back to your parents, knowing that they've sacrificed so much, knowing that they've put in a lot of effort to get you to where you are. So you said that it came to them as a complete surprise, you becoming a UN SDG leader. Did it take you by surprise, or was it something that you were intentional about pursuing?
I studied electrical engineering, and my dream was to come to work in a big company as an engineer, mm-hmm. to do electronics and different works. By surprise, the day I graduated, all the times when I was studying, I was a volunteer, mm-hmm. at one company which helps young people to do science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, STEM, by practice.
Mm-hmm.
So every weekend, I could go around, buy some available materials, and go to teach students on how they can apply what they study in school practically. Then after graduating, I got employed by the same company that now you have graduated will employ you full time to go to be the Frost manager for the establishment of the Frost Science Center in Tanzania.
Wow.
So I'm proud to work as the manager for the Frost Science Center in Tanzania. But I wanted to work on electronics.
Okay.
So, okay, I worked there for 2 years, but my dream was one day I need to come up with something of my own. And I collected all that salary, and after 2 years I said,
I'm going to quit
the job, and thank you very much. I'm going to use this money to open my company and work on my project.
Oh, wow.
And the funny thing is, after going, you know, quitting job is very hard.
Right.
You don't have supply of, you don't get paid. You know how to eat, so you have to think on yourself.
Yes.
If you don't work, you don't eat.
Right.
So you need to do everything. So I went in a closed room.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed there for 4 months.
4 months in
yes.
a closed room.
And I did not appear anywhere. So I was a man of social media because previously I was a musician, I was a music producer, a public person. Now transitioning to being a manager, people already knew me. So everyone was following, where is Gibson?
Okay.
In those 4 months, no one knew where I was. No one saw me. No one knew anything about
Complete
me.
Isolation.
I was there with the internet, 24/7 access to the internet, doing applications, funding my company, and also applying for different positions to be able to help other young people to champion SDGs. And one among the outcomes, I did 400 applications. And out of those, I got selected.
400 applications.
Yeah.
400 applications.
400. I have all of them in my Excel sheet.
To create your company.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Because at that point, I realized now I'm the father of my company. I need to find food for my company and my people. And out of those, the good news is I won the Climate Launchpad, the climate competition, which was the global competition, became the second. And I also won the Africa Prize by the Royal Academy of Engineering in London.
Okay.
And they gave me the seed fund. I also won the ANZA Entrepreneurship Competition. I won the DOT Tanzania Competition.
Wow, that's
incredible. I won the OMDTZ Competition. And I did that application and I got selected to be among the young leaders for SDGs. And the good news is, we applied more than 5,000 applicants from all over the globe.
Okay.
And they needed only 17 young leaders for each sustainable development goal.
Okay.
So I was selected through my WAGA to champion SDG number 7 by providing affordable and clean energy.
Oh, that's absolutely beautiful. That is incredible. So
yeah.
you took the time. You first of all, you invested in yourself.
Exactly.
You decided to invest in yourself. But you knew going into your first job, into that job as a manager, you knew that it was not the end game. It was just a means to what you wanted to
do. Get where I wanted to.
And then you decided to invest in yourself, super focused. 400 or 4,000? 400 applications. I mean,
yes.
I personally can't get through like three, okay?
No.
So 400 applications. So the amount of perseverance that it must have taken. How did you put up with the pressures of that?
How?
Yes. Like what was your coping mechanism for the pressures? Because 400 applications, 4 months lockdown, going from, you know, being a musician, and we'll talk about that in a minute,
yeah.
But how did you deal with that?
I was always driven by where I come from.
Okay.
I come from a village. And at that point, I went to town. Dar es Salaam is a big town. Every young person's dream to get there. Getting to the city is every young person's goal. But what are you doing at the city?
Okay.
Are you going to wander around or you're going to do something concrete? That was the goal. So personally, I was afraid to go back to my village. That was the fear.
I'm not going back.
Yes. And the second thing, my parents were looking at me. Like, this is our son. I had tried to make them proud, and I saw, you see, let me tell you something. I grew up in an environment where I experienced my father not being treated well at work.
Okay.
Where the bosses, you know, being a driver, the bosses treat the drivers like they are nobody.
Right.
And most of the times, they don't give them their rights, and they suppress them.
Specifically in where you come from.
Yes, where I come from. So yes. My father was persevering all those experiences just to get the bread for the family.
So you couldn't disappoint.
Yes. So at that point I said, if my father is persistent in his job, why should I not be persistent in what I do? So doing those applications, every day I could receive emails, thank you so much, we are sorry.
Rejections.
After a long review, after all the reviews, we are sorry to inform you that you will not get this. But for me it was, one day I will get something. Then the other thing was, I have a dream, one day to have my own city.
The city of Wagga.
City where we will have sustainable energy, a city where we'll have electric cars, we'll have clean energy, we'll have solar farms, we'll have the mega parks.
Oh, wow.
So towards achieving that, I understand that I need to sacrifice all the leisures. I need to sacrifice my other time and focus on what I want to do and focus on how to get where I want to be, because no one can take me there except myself.
Except you.
Yes.
That is absolutely incredible. So I love how you say you you got your energy and your motivation, not just through yourself, but through your father. And that's that for me, you know, sometimes it's the same for me. Like I look at the way my parents, what they've done for us and what their parents have done for them. So it's like generationally, you take on all the strength of generations and you push forward. And I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely incredible. And I can't wait. I can't wait for Wagga City. And I can't wait to meet you there, to be honest. So, one thing, Gibson, I wanted you to break down for us a little bit. Because when we talk about SDGs, when we talk about sustainability, they're very large concepts. And I think for a lot of people, they seem far-fetched. They seem unattainable. I want you, if you could simplify those concepts to youth as to how they can work towards the SDG goals and work towards resolving them in their day-to-day lives, in their work, and so on.
In order to achieve anything, you need to have goals. And the globe set the goals that each country, each nation, each individual needs to achieve by 2030. And let's break down from the name itself. They are sustainable development goals. Let's start from the goals. So they are goals that help all of us develop sustainably.
Right.
So how can young people tap into the SDGs? Let us not look at the SDGs like something which is set by the officials, something which is to be achieved by the countries.
And I think a lot of people do that. A lot of people don't see their own contributions to it or don't want to contribute to it because it's somebody else's challenge to deal with.
Yeah, so as young people now, we should change our perspective. Think big and act now in this sense. The goals are set there by the officials. It's okay. But for the advantage of all of us, so we should understand that.
Right.
And the goals are to be attained and achieved and championed by all of us individually. So we should look at the 17 goals, each one by one, in this way. We live in communities. Mm-hmm. There's where we are.
Right.
There's where we grow. Let us look at what problems are existing in our communities. These problems might range from education, from health, from well-being, from energy, from climate. Then we should look at how can we solve those problems. By solving those problems, unknowingly, we'll be achieving the SDGs because the goals are there to help us solve the problems in our societies. For example, I looked at solving the clean energy supply in our country. Then at the end of the day, I did not know about the SDGs, and I found, oh, wow.
I was contributing.
Yes, I'm helping people get clean and affordable energy. At the same time, I'm helping fighting climate change because we are replacing kerosene lamps with lights which don't emit carbon dioxide. And at the same time, I found that I'm providing decent jobs to women and youth around. So at the same time, I'm championing SDGs, not looking at, okay, now I'm in the office,
how do
I'm
I
championing
tackle
the
these SDGs. Yes. That's incredible. That's incredible advice. Gibson, thank you so much for that. And I think, again, for me, it's your messages are super powerful in looking locally, looking at your communities, looking at your families, looking at the actual need. I think these are incredible insights that you've shared with us. And I want to end this conversation by asking you, if you had one message to send to youth today, what would that message be?
Think big. Act now. Focus 2027. You are not too small to create a change. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gibson, for your time. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay in Saudi Arabia.
Thank you so much. And I love Saudi.
Oh, I love that. Amazing. Yeah. Take care. My guest, Okan Durusan from Turkey. He is the co-founder of Carbon Gate and a UN SDG leader for climate action. Welcome, Okan.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me here.
It's great to have you here, honestly. And Okan, I know you and I were talking a little bit before this, and I was very interested to hear that you come from an edtech background. Mm-hmm. So how does one transition from edtech into climate tech? Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Of course. Thanks. First of all, I need to mention that I'm feeling like at home because of Riyadh and Turkey is very similar cultures. And this is my third time at Riyadh. So I'm so happy to be part of that organization and sharing my thoughts and experience with the all young generation here as well.
I love
it's
that. I think it's the food that changes a little bit. Exactly. But other than that, the warmth and the culture is there.
Exactly. Thank you very much. I am a social entrepreneur working in climate technology, as you mentioned. Back then, I was working at education technology field. I was volunteer more than 5,000 hours of time in Turkey, in Anatolian side of our country. Mm. And I met with the visually impaired orphans, refugees, and I saw the biggest problem is the education system. It's back then 200 years of system we have right now. But the thing is, we are the real outcomes of that existing education system.
Right.
And the decisions we made shows that we are not in the right path. We are facing with a global crisis. So that I just thought that what if we bring a new approach to existing education system? Then we developed new curriculum, which is consist of the STEM education with sustainability for the children.
And STEM with sustainability.
Exactly.
Included with the science.
Exactly. Yeah, science, nice. Technology, coding, robotics, AI, and climate action, gender equality, all the sustainable development goals. Our target is 5 to 14 years old. And we have reached more than 3 million children, and we are proud of that. Half of them was from the rural areas of the world, African side of the world and Anatolian side of Turkey. And at that time, by the way, I am industrial engineer, and I'm just very, very passionate about productivity because we are right now facing a big global crisis, which is mainly based on climate. And I just feel that having a new innovation in education system is very good. But the real impact of that will come in the next decades because the existing today's children will be decision makers in the upcoming 10, maybe 20 years later.
So is this social impact that you're working on, is it part of Carbon Gate?
No, actually, they were two different organizations. The Carbon Gate is mainly and only focusing on climate technology and decarbonization solutions.
And the other, the social impact one?
Exactly. The name is Twin Science.
Okay.
It's also based in Turkey as well. So then I'm still supporting that organization because the dream is amazing and we are together achieving amazing goals, but still supporting from outside of the organization.
Nice.
I am opening a new business, Carbon Gate, which is in the climate technology field. The reason is very accurate, I think, and we all see that sea levels are increasing, the weathers are changing, and the natural disasters are getting serious and serious day by day. And we need to do something about it. Mm-hmm. And the concept of today's event is big thing and act now. And if we think big together, we should also take action very proactively and very quickly. That's why me and my co-founder friends thought that we should do something about climate technology, which is about decreasing the greenhouse gas emissions of the world. and we founded CarbonGate in climate technology.
That's incredible. I love that you moved on from EdTech.
Yeah.
But you founded something different within climate action. But at the same time, mm-hmm. you maintain that passion for education, and you're trying to circle back around and feed education mm-hmm. with what is needed within the climate space. So I would Thank imagine you. That grassroots education for mm-hmm. climate is something imperative that you would support across all curriculums. Yeah?
Exactly. You're right. And it's a global thing as well. The education system in Turkey, almost same in the European side or the Asian right. side of the world or the Middle East side. The thing is, the subjects are changing by age. In Turkey, for example, some of the children at age 5 can see the same subjects in the same age, 8 or 9 years old children in Europe. Mm. So the concepts are same, but the paths they are following as a curriculum right. is changing. If you are adapting your way of teaching, you can have a global curriculum to touch for all the children of the world.
That's incredible. And so what was the driving point where how did you actually become interested in sustainability? How did you become interested in climate action? How did it come into your sphere of knowledge and understanding as well?
That question brings me to my childhood, actually, because I was always curious child and would like to do something good for not only the people I met, also for the planet I am living in. So that passion drives me to do something good and something create a social impact for our future. That starts with education, because whatever problem we are talking right now is based on education.
Right.
Then it continues with climate change because of the existing issue we have. But the passion, what drives me, I'm just thinking, I think it's all about having a good person in our heart and combining that hearty vision with our brain, with our logic, with a realistic picture. So I think the family I have, I'm so lucky, they feed me with this knowledge. The people surrounding myself as friends, as mentors of me, just drives me and show the right path to do something right. for future. And when I look at these goals and these keywords, everything connects with this sustainability and the sustainable development goals, right. which are 17 goals that United Nations defined. These all are united under one umbrella of sustainability for me.
So tell me a little bit. So you're an UN SDG leader for climate action. What does that actually entail? What do you do as a UN SDG leader?
First of all, let's define sustainable development goals. These are the goals for our betterment for the future. It includes peace. It includes a green future about environmental impact, about social and economic impact. That's why 17 goals are covering everything we can think about as a problem of our today's world. That program, United Nations General Assemblies of Youth Envoy Office, every 2 years nominates 17 young person like me from worldwide. All of us working about these 17 goals. The purpose of the program is making our work, our effort and passion visible, like you are doing right now, to inspire others. And with this program, we are attending global conferences to share our experience.
So it's about sharing experiences, awareness, and inspiring people to carry that on as well. That's incredible. So I wanted to ask you, do you feel that there could be more to this role as an SDG leader? I know that the SDG Action Weekend usually happens on the sidelines, and it's mainly related to youth. Do you feel like there could be more impact in actual integration with the leaders' events that are happening around these topics?
Yes, of course. As a young person, I was also at 78th General Assembly this year at New York headquarters of United Nations. We all learn about that. We are at 15% of our targets, even we are in the mid-level of our journey. There are 7 years left. I think the importance of youth empowerment and involvement of our generations as a decision point is very important, because we are the one leading in the next 10, maybe 20 years of time. So we all talk about problems. That's really good. It's a first step to aware about the global crisis. But we need to take action further about solutions as a practical projects we made, like our cohort. But we need to improve the number of projects, number of practical solutions we have. And I think that will only be valid with the youth leadership in the next 10 and 20 years. That's why it's very important, and it will be more important in the next years as well.
That's incredibly powerful. So it's about putting those, putting practical steps towards youth actually being in those leadership seats and making, being part of those decisions.
So
when we're talking about practical steps, what practical advice, and I'll end with this question, what practical advice would you like to leave the youth audience with?
The first thing is, please, all the young generations we are talking right now, please, they can dream big as much as they can do. Because when you look at your childhood, we all have a big dreamers, right? I don't know what happens to us, but
yes,
maybe in education
100%.
System, we forgot to dream. First thing I can suggest, please dream big. And maybe they can follow their problem they see in the world.
Right.
The problem they have passion to solve. Mm. The problem that disturbs their sleep and wakes them awake very excited in the morning.
Or anxious.
Exactly. Exactly. As a third step, maybe I can say that please find their dream partners.
The partners. I love that.
Yeah, they can walk with them in the same way. Mm. Like Mevlana Rumi, it's a philosopher I really liked. When you walk on the way appears, actually,
right,
with a good faith.
I love that. That's absolutely beautiful.
I really like the quotes of Mevlana Rumi, so I think it's really matched with the point we are emphasizing. They will walk on the way, and I'm sure that when they find the right people walking on the same path like them, they will go further rather than faster
absolutely.
By alone.
I love that.
As a third step, just take action. Just do it without any excuse. Because you have the passion, you have the problem, and you have the dream you have.
Yes, and the people rooting for you along
exactly.
the way.
Exactly. Be the change
That's
you want to see in the world,
advice.
Right? This is the rest.
That's
we have capacity, we have time and ability. Then
absolutely.
The thing is, you should do this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Okan.
You're welcome.
It was an absolute pleasure speaking
Thank you very
to
much.
You. And what wonderful advice to leave the youth
Thank
with.
You. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.